This is HDN.
September 15th, Monday in the Beaver Bank Bunker. This is the Halifax Daily News.
Haven't had one of these in a while. A douchebag of the week.
Oh, good.
And we got a good one.
Yeah.
RCMP arresting a woman for impaired driving Wednesday of last week. She was speeding through a school zone. Happened around 2 o'clock down Chester Way, speeding by elementary and middle school students while they were being dismissed for the day. Cops pull her over. It becomes abundantly clear that she is drunk as a skunk. 59-year-old woman from Halifax blew 2.5 times the legal limit on the breathalyzer. This is at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon in a school zone. Anyway, she has been ordered to appear in court in Bridgewater in November on impaired driving charges.
Yeah, that would rank up there with douchebag of the week, I would say.
I would say so.
What's her name?
Oh, no names have been released.
Oh, let's get her name.
I don't know if they will do that until she's in court.
All right.
It would appear that Apple has a bit of a problem when it comes to geography. Consumers who hit up apple.ca to pre-order the new iPhone 6 last week clicked on a link that gave them delivery timelines depending on where you were in Canada. Apple appears to have mixed up the nation's capital and Ontario's capital. They roughly placed Ottawa where Toronto should be. And Edmonton is kind of veering off to the northwest of Calgary as opposed to the northeast. And Quebec City is mistakenly labeled just as Quebec. No one from Apple available to comment on that. So, just for shits and giggles, why don't you just hit up apple.ca and see if they fix that up.
I think we should all get mad at Apple, band together, throw our iPhones into the harbor, and get Blackberries.
There it is.
Oh, Canada.
Hey, last week, you remember we were telling you about the special reception the mayor was having at Pier 21 over the weekend?
Yeah.
It was the very first of its kind for first-year students, international students, who are, well, studying here in Halifax for the next 4+ years. And boy, they came out by the dozens from Yemen, South Sudan, Spain, Germany, Dominican Republic, China, just to name a few. It was kind of cool to see the pictures coming out of there. And actually, the number of international students at post-secondary institutions has more than doubled in the last 10 years. And it's actually about 16% of the entire student population here in HRM.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it's kind of neat that the city recognizes the new residents and
it's kind of neat that they still think that they have to go to things like this. Where they come from, if you don't go and visit the mayor, if the invitation has been given to you, you're beheaded.
Well, I would, I'd love to check in with those students from, say, the Dominican Republic and Yemen long about January 15th or 20th and see how they're feeling about their new home.
Yeah, they'll want to see the mayor.
Yeah.
They'll have a few issues.
Few choice
Excuse
words.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Remember we met back in September? Can you do
Make
something?
Make this shit go away. Well, I mean, the ultimate goal of all of this is to establish a relationship with these international students in hopes that they will stay beyond the graduation, their graduation years, and make a life for themselves here in Metro.
Right.
So about a month or so ago, there was a huge kerfuffle on social media when Frank Magazine reported that the Seahorse Tavern was going to close, and it was picked up by mainstream media, went completely viral, and it just started off a huge firestorm.
And we even talked about it here on the Halifax Daily News.
That's
how big of a story it was.
Yep. Owner Victor Siprick said at the time that the Seahorse would never close, that, that was the end of it, period, end of sentence.
What he didn't say is that it would never relocate.
Exactly. The oldest bar in Halifax is moving off of Argyle Street, and it's going to Gottigen. Yes, indeed. The Seahorse is going to be shacking up with the Marquee Ballroom. Signs were spotted on the website and at the Seahorse's website.
Basically, Hell's Kitchen is going to turn into the Seahorse. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
They're moving the name. They're not moving the bar. That's crazy. You can't relocate a bar.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you can't recreate the atmosphere.
No, it's the fact that it was there. That's, the Seahorse, the history was where it is at.
Oh.
If you relocate the Seahorse, then you're just naming naming another bar the Seahorse, and then you're closing down the Seahorse.
Exactly.
I want to see if the tables have been moved, if my name is still carved in the table over there at the Marquee Club location on Gottingen Street.
And are all the pews going as well? I mean, that's the other thing. You talk about the history. Seahorse was the first bar to open in Halifax after Prohibition. They charged 25 or 30 cents for a pint of beer at that time. Mm. Over 50 people had come in to drink by 20 after 10 in the morning that first opening day, and they couldn't keep the beer cold because it was selling out so fast.
But you sell beer for that price now, you'll get a lot more than 50 people showing up.
I think so.
I guarantee you.
But owner Victor Siprick clarifying yesterday, he says his lease in the Argyle Street location is up soon. He says Gottingen Street seems like an area whose time has come. And I guess there's going to be a pizza place in there as well as part of the Seahorse Tavern.
I don't know. What do you think about that, Miss Tavern?
We're back to that again, are we?
No, when the Marquee Club reopened, Hell's Kitchen downstairs did not reopen. And people were saying, like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do with Hell's Kitchen downstairs. Well, they're going to call it the Seahorse and open it up. But it's not the Seahorse. Do you think that it is the Seahorse? I want to hear from people on this one. Go to our Facebook page. We're going to ask that question, because really, can you relocate a bar and still be able to call it that bar?
And it's not going to be the same.
It's not like a McDonald's franchise where you close one down and open up somewhere, you know, another one somewhere else.
Good point. Well, I mean, you know, on the upside, that will give a bigger performance space for bands that do regularly, you know, that do play the Seahorse on a regular basis.
I was completely in favor of them opening up that basement thing at the Marquee Club. I'm completely in favor of any venue that, you know, offers a stage for local performance artists to do their thing. I wasn't in favor of the Seahorse closing down because of its big history, its rich history in downtown Halifax. As you said, the first bar to open after Prohibition.
Yep.
There's some serious history there.
Yep.
Victor, you can't just take the sign, put it, you know, in a completely different area of the city and say, oh no, it's over here now.
Yeah.
That's crap. Frank Magazine had it right.
Yes,
the Seahorse was closing down, and Victor Siprick to say, I would never do that, you just did.
We're calling shenanigans on this one.
Exactly. That's slimy. He's fully in the right to do this. If he wants to do that and close down the bar, it's his, you know,
and
end that legacy, that's fine. But don't try to pull the wool over our eyes and just move the name across the city and say, oh, I would never close the Seahorse. Because you are. Just fess up to what you're doing. That's all I'm saying.
But mind you, if his lease is not being renewed, he may not have a choice. He may be, you know, he might be getting kicked out of that space in favor of development, because I do believe that was the story that Frank Magazine reported.
Okay. Now, that's interesting then.
Yeah.
Well, then I want to find out who actually owns the building, who's going to do further development, and who's closing down the damn Seahorse.
Davis Cup. Tennis wrapped up this past weekend at the Metro Center, a huge event for tennis fans. The best from around the world were in town. And nice to see Daniel Nestor, who was here as part of it, presenting $100,000 to the tennis center in Bedford that bears his name. So, boy, that makes them a healthy place to go play tennis for the next little while, I would think.
Yeah.
Boy, did you see any of those spectacular pictures from that fire on Portland Place in Halifax yesterday?
Yeah, that was a biggie.
Oh, big. Yeah, it was massive. The building completely destroyed.
Did we find out what started that? Have they figured that out yet?
They haven't, no. Investigators,
is it shady? Is it, you know?
I don't think it appears to be shady. It housed three fairly big businesses. RCR Catering, they're the folks who own restaurants like Cut and I can't remember some of the other ones, but they also do event catering. Ravensburg College, I think, was the other business. They do training, security training. But the big one was National Art, which is affiliated with Maritime Art. And come to find out, and hopefully they'll be able to find out sooner rather than later, they may have lost some major Nova Scotia art history.
Oh.
You've no doubt heard of William R. McCaskill.
Sure.
Well, there was a huge collection of original negatives that were stored in a safe at the National Art Building, the location that burned. So hopefully they'll be able to find the safe and make sure that those negatives are indeed safe in the safe.
Yeah, hopefully the safe is living up to its name.
Because, he is a huge, that is a big chunk of Halifax photographic history.
Now, when I first saw this story, first thing I thought was, how sad is that? They're having the Gottingen Street weekend.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about that on Friday. Everybody get down to Gottingen Street and then boom, all of a sudden this fire. So I hope that those two things aren't related, and I hope that it didn't put too much of a damper on the festivities.
My understanding is that although a number of streets in and around the area were closed, the events for Gottingen 250 did continue on as planned. But suffice to say, attendance may have been down because of that.
And speaking of Gottingen Street, we were trying to figure out the name Gottingen and who would have come up with a name that none of us can pronounce, or everybody can pronounce. We all just pronounce it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our friend Mike Boyd wrote and says, Gottingen is a university town in Lower Saxony, Germany.
Oh.
It's the capital of the district of Gottingen, I guess, because they have umlauts over that O there.
Sure.
So I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, in 2011, the population was 116,000. And then he went on to say, if there was a loud explosion in Sackville, perhaps it was another Donair pizza delivered to the Beaver Bank bunker. Thanks, Mike. But I guess if it is German and there are supposed to be umlauts over that O, I think that would be Gottingen or Gotten. Still don't know how to pronounce it. And nobody's going to start calling it Gottingen.
No, not on my watch.
But
I'd like to buy a vowel, Pat.
Yeah, a vowel in the English alphabet would be nice, too. So that's where the name Gottingen comes from.
Message from regional police. Lock up your ladders, kids. They've been saying that the last couple of weeks they've had a number of daytime break-and-enters where thieves used ladders that were stored outside the residence to get into the buildings. And so just a friendly reminder that if you have a ladder that you use on a regular basis, you might want to just lock it up in the shed or put it in the garage. Don't just lean it up against the side of the house and hope for the best.
Especially if you have a daughter, because, ladders lead to eloping. I've seen those shows.
Yeah, exactly.
So lock up your ladders and lock up your daughters. Hey, we mentioned this before, but we're going to mention it again.
Mm.
The Dare to Dream home lottery deadline is fast approaching. When is it? It's this week, I do believe.
It's 19th, so that makes, is it Friday or Thursday?
Yeah.
It's this
anyway,
week.
You only have a few days to get those tickets. And I'm telling you, it got to the point where I said, originally, you've got great odds of winning a house. Then it was like, you have fantastic odds of winning a house. Then it's like, okay, let's get some money for Bryony House, because that's what this whole thing is for.
Yeah.
Now we're at the point where we don't want them to take a bath. And unless we go and buy some serious tickets this final week, they are going to take a bath. So let's all buy tickets, buy them online, and let's make sure that they not only, it would be nice if they made some money for Bryony House, but it would, at the very least, it would be nice if they made their money back.
That would be nice.
So it's daretodream.ca. That's where you buy the tickets. And it really is not only a beautiful mansion, but all sorts of vehicles and other prizes that go along with that as well.
It's
all
fully
the information
furnished.
Is on their website. And that is all from the Beaver Bank Bunker. Short and sweet, and get on with your Monday. We'll be back Tuesday with more fun and frivolity.
Hey, before we go, though, I have to say happy birthday to Dad.
Today?
Yesterday.
Was yesterday his actual birthday?
Yeah, Sunday.
How often does that happen? Well, I know, but we always go over there for birthday dinners on Sunday.
Yeah. No,
even
no.
If your birthday's on a Wednesday. That was actually his birthday
that
last
was,
night?
Yep, the actual factual birthday, the 14th.
So he got me drunk on wine for a reason then.
He did indeed.
That was good, good.
Figured he wanted to take advantage of you.
No, in the past we said it was for his birthday, but it was really like a few days before, a few days after.
Yeah.
No real reason, but this was,
this
legit.
All for a good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Dad.
Yeah. How are you going to put your final line until then in there? I've already made my sign off. I'm not going to do it again.
All right.
Hey, guess what, Lisa?
What?
Next year, it's going to be your dad's birthday again.
Until then.
See, that works.